So, what did anybody find?
So I found seafoam out here. I was looking at the snow, not deliberately, but I kept wanting to find something else, but I kept looking back down here at this pattern. And I know partly it's like a range like this because of some evaporation and so on, but that's not what it came to mind. What came to mind was a little bit of seafoam. It also came across as food, and I don't know why. I'm not hungry, so, but for some reason that came out. It was like spilled oatmeal or something. I don't know. It was just like this kind of thing. And Play-Doh too. Like I had this idea, not like the philosopher, but like you know, stuff to kind of like play around with. You know, like I just. I don't know if that's because I'm remembering like throwing snowballs at somebody or what. I don't know, but
all of these that are out here. Okay.
Yeah, like it just kind of had this idea of like a little Play-Doh, and there was
Play-Doh experience.
And I saw some paw prints out there, and I was thinking like puppy playground, you know. And I used to have this dog Angel that would just run around in this kind of stuff like crazy, and that's exactly like that kind of. It seems like it invited that play, which is why I was maybe thinking of Play-Doh and snowballs and that kind of stuff, and seafoam. It actually reminded me of a conversation I had with Marisa on one of the hikes we were on coming back, and she'd mentioned this story about, I have no idea why, because I don't know how we got there, but
I don't know why I mention stories half the time either. They just come out.
You were like washing dishes at the sink or something, because you're like,
it was the play in the,
And for some reason I associated with that, and I'm thinking this is like dish soap or something, you know? It was like this, I don't know. I went like probably five different things all kind of kept going back around to each other. So that's what I did. I couldn't go anywhere else. It just kept on like, yeah, this is right here.
Well, I did actually take Henry's invitation. Admire this. It's not a tentacle, but this protuberance, this appendage reaching up out of the earth to kind of express and feel and interact, coming up like that and just emerging. And then something might be emerging from it, like a stomach or a womb or something, as it's doing all these things. And the way that it's wriggling over here, especially around on this side, it's not this nice little smooth thing.
Anyway. Yeah, I like that.
That's
flattened
like some heavy snow.
Yeah, I did. A little Bob Fosse there, doing a little writhing around.
And...
Speaking of protruding up from the ground, I was meeting with that tree right there by the path, and I couldn't shake the feeling that it was like, I mean, I know that it has roots underground, but I couldn't shake the feeling that it was like, really, like most of it was underground, that it was so deeply underground. I saw it as a spearhead of a long spear, and the spearhead was made of just these leaves, and I imagined it, I mean, I guess it's a little bit of gruesome, but I imagined it being used to like go through somebody, and just the way it would look, like for like a spear with all these leaves and needles, I don't know, it was just a really interesting, weird sort of image that came to my mind. And then still not being able to shake that notion of it being mostly underground, I also imagine like a finger protected by bark, but like a fleshy finger inside the tree. I had weird images, but they weren't completely unpleasant. There was something like, I mean, the spear thing, it sounds gross, but it was more like how like in mythic imagery on like a fresco or something, how you might see like that being used. It wasn't particularly like gruesome in my mind. It was just sort of this mythical imagery of this tree spear or something. I'm not sure, but I don't know. It was a pretty interesting feeling.
Which finger was it?
I don't know. It might have been the middle finger. That is the longest. Yeah. What, anybody else?
When you were talking at the beginning, the first thing I spied the little school over here, and while you were explaining what to do, this started formulating. and being a storyteller, I like to try to tell stories, and I saw that as, in the beginning, it contained a coil of wire, and it had been brought up here by probably a power company or construction, somewhat probably involved in this construction of this water tank, and then later on, I picture that spool sitting in the living room of somebody's apartment as a coffee table. Mm-hmm. because, of course, now that's the type of furniture I had when I was younger. We made things out of what it wasn't and turned it into something different that was functional, but not for its original use, which, of course, a table is. Mm. And then it got weird. Because then I started thinking something bizarre, which would be to use that as a projectile in a trebuchet. To attach that to the rope and fling it out off into the town. Where no, it's no longer a spool, but now it's a projectile. And then it hits the ground, and then it becomes a wheel. So now it's tumbling and bouncing down through the terrain and environment until it then becomes a battering ram when it smashes into one of the buildings. And at that point, it becomes splinters that I can use, pieces, and I can assemble a small dollhouse.
Wow.
A lot happened.
And, you know, and then the story can continue on, or I give it to somebody, and a little child can enjoy that as a toy. Mm. So, I mean, it can transform into a lot of stuff. Wow. Yeah.
Can I pose a question?
Yes.
So, I'm wondering if you, I know you thought a lot about this, have thought much about how we view kind of the relationship between like all the good things that come out from like suspended judgment, right? Like this is awesome. And, you know, labels, as you're saying, and judgments kind of foreclose certain possibilities for relationship, and now we have all these feelings we can talk about that you don't just feel when you say rock, right? But on the other hand, as you kind of listen to people, there's so many ways in which judgments and labels actually allow us to see more. Right, like I'm married to a botanist, so I go on a hike with her, and she just sees more than I do. And that seems like a richer, more enchanted experience. Even if I could do more poetry, like she just sees the shape of flowers and things, right? And the judgment she's able to do. So I'm wondering if you've thought much about how we kind of like bring these worlds together in terms of like, you know, the positives that come from the suspension of judgment, and also the some ways the non-limiting parts of the judgments we make, right? If you actually have a kind of better vocabulary than just this is a rock.
So I think that there's sense? I like the question. I think that there's a difference between there's a difference between a label and a judgment.
Okay.
In that, like, you could put a label on something, but that doesn't foreclose it from being other things. It doesn't foreclose it from allowing itself to express itself to you, allow it to, like, interact or just sort of take its intent to it. You can have a frame that is just a little bit loose around the edges, which I think any good scientist or any good, like, botanist looking at it's going to, like, notice the particular things about the particular plant. It's not just going to come in and, like, oh, this is this species and nothing else. So I think there's a difference there between, like, language, like, you know, just to label things or to talk about things in a certain way, and a judgment, which I feel like a judgment is a final decision on what something is or ever possibly could be. But it is a absolute shutting down of all other possibilities. And while labels, I think, do some of that work, like they shut down some possibilities or they limit or constrain the way that you see something, I think that they don't have to be total judgments. And so long as they're not total judgments, they can do a lot of good work too. They can help facilitate certain ways of seeing or lead into other certain connections. So I think it's more about the like absolute closing off to attention that comes along with just like deciding and like judging and therefore taking things totally for granted. I feel like a more fanciful way to put it. I've been thinking a lot about lately, a lot about words as magic, like sort of etymologically, and just the relationship between those notions of language and magic. I mean, to spell is like one. Just as like, you know, words do have a profound sort of input for good or for ill. It's a matter of what kind of like, I guess the romantic way to put it would be like what spells you're casting, like what way you're using that magic. Like you could use it to make total judgments, or you could use it to foster particular sorts of, yeah, I don't know, just...
Well, like you're saying, the words can be good or ill.
Right.
And anything in between, but once you say good or ill, there's the judgment.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So that's the input.